I'm Michael Smith.
And I'm Chuck Osborne.
And welcome to the Iron Capital Podcast,
where we break down investment stuff with anecdotes and stories that non-financial geeks can understand.
Hey, this is Michael.
This is Chuck.
And it's Wednesday, June 26, 2024. This is the 14th episode of the Iron Capital Podcast.
Woo-hoo!
So let's get started, Chuck. What's on your mind?
Retiring, Michael.
Oh.
Retiring. I'm getting old. Can't do this. No, I'm just kidding. I'm never retiring. But retirement is on my mind. And the... And really getting started in investing.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been talking about, you know, kind of the steps that people need to take to do it themselves and to get investing and setting a budget, saving money, getting out of debt and managing your debt prudently.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're ready to start investing.
Yeah. Well, let's just get right into it. So for most people, kind of what really is your first toe into the investing world? What should that be?
Yeah. So for the vast majority of people, that is going to be your retirement plan at work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you work at a corporation, that would be a 401k. If you're a government employee, it might be a 457. If you're a teacher or a nurse or a doctor, it might be a 403b. But all of those, you know, are letters from the IRS code, but they all are the 401k type retirement plans where
yep.
employees are contributing to their own retirement, and their employer may or may not be matching them, and that money's going to sit there growing for retirement.
Yeah, that's right. And so, yeah, and so this is the first when you first most companies now have a 401k style
yep.
investment program, and
yep.
so I guess the question there is, what is the most important thing to mm. think about for when someone starts to invest in their 401k?
Well, I think the most important thing first is to just get started and get started as soon as possible. And one of the great things about the 401k is you get to put money away before you pay taxes on
mm-hmm.
it. And that, frankly, in my opinion, is not talked about enough. That's a huge advantage. We talk a lot about the employer match, and rightfully so. But really, you're getting kind of a government match by the fact that you're not having to pay taxes on that money. You're actually reducing your taxable income
yep.
as it goes into that plan. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that you pay 20% in taxes. If you put a dollar into the plan, that actually only costs you about 80 cents out of your pocket, because the other 20 cents would have gone to Uncle Sam
mm-hmm.
And or your state, to pay taxes. And so for the cost of 80 cents out of your pocket, you get a dollar being invested.
Mm-hmm.
You add on top of that that most employers do have some kind of matching program, and it's going to vary from employer to employer, but one of the most standard, most common ones we see is roughly 50 cents on the dollar up to say 6%
mm-hmm.
On contribution. So for the first 6% of your income that you put in the plan, your employer is going to give you 50 cents, so for every dollar. And so now you've taken 80 cents out of your pocket, you've got a dollar of your own money going into a retirement plan, plus 50 cents of your employer's money going into a retirement plan. So for 80 cents, you've got $1.50
yep.
in the plan. You can't beat that.
It's the best return you can get on any investment.
Before you've even invested it.
Yeah,
you just so obviously this should be the first step, and it should be something that everyone should take advantage of. And you should begin at least up to the point to where your employer is matching.
Yeah. So again, if half of the first 6% match, then you should be putting 6% of if you can in. You're
yeah.
getting 3% on top of that. That means you're saving 9% as a total.
Right.
And if you aren't doing that, you are leaving money on the table. That's the biggest thing I think we tell people too. Maybe this is the second thing past just getting started.
Sure.
Is
yeah.
don't leave that on. That's really free money to you, and you don't want to leave that on the table. That's step one. Get that. Get every dollar you can get from your employer.
Exactly. I mean, if you don't need it, call me. I'll take it. you know, I'm sure there's lots of other people who volunteer.
Yeah, that's right.
You are leaving money on the table if you don't at least participate up to the level of the match. Now, for most people, that's not going to be enough probably in the long run to save for retirement. That's a good first step. But you are going to want to eventually increase that. And this is where I do think we do differ some from a lot of the other people out there that give this type of advice. And that I believe that the max that you should put in a 401k or roughly your target should be about 10%.
Yeah, saving 10% of your income towards retirement.
Saving 10% of your income towards retirement. Obviously, you get more than that because your employer is matching.
Yep.
So in the scenario that we said, that would be 13%.
That would be 13%.
A lot of people will say 15%. And I get it. The more you put in the plan, the more you're going to have when you retire.
Yep.
No one has ever, you know, come to us and said, I've got too much money to retire on.
Yeah.
So I understand why people will say to save up to 15%. The problem I have with that is that you're starting to get into a realm where, in my view, it's not realistic.
Yeah, that's right. And there's more issues in that, too, is that, and again, we'll talk about this, too, but we do see clients who, later in life, almost all of their money is in a 401k or in a retirement account, and that causes issues of its own.
Yeah,
it can, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I again, this comes from our actual experience. I have never run into a client who put 10% of their income in their 401k and then they did not have enough to retire on. Many times, we have had clients come to us where almost all their investable assets are in the retirement plan and they want to pay for something else.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
they have to pay for something else.
And they cannot get that out, or they can't get it out easily.
Right. And or not without lots of penalties and taxes. And
some plans won't let you pull it, period.
And yeah. No, exactly.
Yep.
And so, you know, here's the one thing, and this is where I think a lot of times the planning community, they fall so in love with their plans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're enamored by the computer program that generates a chart and whatever, and they say that, well, you know to safely retire you need to contribute, you know, this huge amount of money, because they're partly because they're being hugely over conservative on what they're projecting as far as investment returns and so forth. The problem with that, though, is that the one thing that is certain about your financial plan, or any plan, quite frankly, is that it's going to need to change.
Yeah.
Life
comes at
does
you.
Not happen, you know, like a nice, neat plan.
Yeah.
And flexibility is one of the things that is really ignored by a lot of financial folks to the detriment of their clients. And part of this, and we've discussed this in previous podcasts, but it's also kind of the culture that has come around the financial services industry, where everything has to be a product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you know, if you're saving for retirement, oh, that's your 401k plan, and then if you have more that you can save, well, we need to put that into a Roth IRA because that's a retirement vehicle.
Yeah. If you have kids.
If you have kids and we're saving for college education, it needs to be in a 529 because that's the retirement product, mm-hmm. or excuse me, the college education product. What we recommend is, once you get up to 10%, investing in your 401k, then anything you can do beyond that, you should just be saving in a standard, old-fashioned,
taxable
regular
brokerage account. Yeah.
Okay. And this kind of goes into, you know, our last conversation that we had about what do wealthy people do.
Yep.
What wealthy people do is they save they just save money.
Yes.
And what we find with our wealthiest clients is that they have at least as much, if not more, saved in a brokerage account than they do in any of those products. You know, the 401k, the 529,
yep,
the Roth, all of those other things. You know, there's nothing wrong with just putting money into a brokerage account. And what people forget, you know, like a lot of people will say, well, put the money into a Roth because it has tax advantages. Well, okay, what are its tax advantages? The tax advantage in the Roth is that based on current law, and I say that because laws can change, mm-hmm, and have repeatedly in the past.
Yep.
Based on current law, you can take the money out tax-free. Okay. So what kind of savings is that really? Well, if you just put money in a brokerage account, it goes in after taxes just like it would in a Roth. Most of the time, you're going to invest that in some kind of asset that's going to appreciate in value, a stock, for example. And what you're going to be paying is long-term capital gains.
Yeah.
Well, long-term capital gains are much lower than income, mm-hmm, rates of taxation.
Yep.
And the and so, yes, there is some savings there, but the savings you get from the Roth is far less than what people
think it is.
And then by putting it in a Roth, you've put strings around it.
Every one of these accounts we've talked, yeah, about, if all of your money is in a 401k and is in an IRA and is in a Roth and is in your child's accounts for education,
right,
then you can't access any of it.
Right.
And so when you go to make that decision about, hey, do I finance this car or not, you have no choice.
Right, a lot of chances. Sure.
You know, if you want to, all these choices, these places where, quote unquote, the wealthy get to make decisions, you have to have liquidity to,
right,
be able to make those decisions. You have to have options and freedom.
Yeah.
If you want to invest in your friends in some wonderful investment option that your friend has that's entrepreneurial,
right,
that you think you could triple your money and you can't do that from your IRA.
Right.
You know, and so there's just freedom in a lot of different ways that you get from just having money in a brokerage account with no rules connected to it that you can do anything you want with.
No, absolutely. And, you know, again, I think what's happened is our world has become so product-oriented,
mm-hmm,
where, you know, the financial advising has become all about finding a product for a solution kind of thing, that that people have forgotten that at the end of the day, all it is, it's about saving money.
Yeah.
And then invest the money wisely and prudently, and then you will have the money down the road,
yeah,
when you need it. So that's really, in our view, you know, how you get started, you know, what you should do to actually get started.
Yeah.
So rule number one, you know, start with your employer's 401k, their retirement plan, whatever number you might have, depending on what kind of job you have. You know, contribute at least up to the employer match if there is one. And then as you can afford it, try to get that up
to
10%. And then beyond 10%, we would say start simply saving money, starting in a brokerage account.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can kind of go on to the next step is that, okay, now that you're saving this money and you're putting it into these vehicles,
what do you do with it?
How do we actually pick investments?
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
Yeah. Well, so we'll get into that next. Right. So that's it for this one. Thanks a bunch. As always, let us know if there's more you want to hear about it, if you have any questions for us, and we will be seeing you guys soon. Thanks.
Iron Capital Advisors is an independent registered investment advisory firm headquartered in Atlanta with clients nationwide. Learn more about us at ironcapitaladvisors.com. The Iron Capital Podcast is produced by Iron Capital Advisors. Our awesome original theme music was written and performed by Michael Smith and Leah Calvert. This content is for educational purposes only and should not be relied upon for investment decisions or advice. Clients and employees of Iron Capital may maintain positions in the securities discussed. Please like and subscribe to the Iron Capital Podcast on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back with another episode soon.